Every year, it seems, DeMar DeRozan goes into hiatus in the summer. And we see him in some of the summer leagues and showing up every now and then. And but then he makes an appearance on social media because he's upset at where he's been ranked. Lo and behold, the top 100 NBA players of 2018 came out yesterday. And I have to admit, I didn't know it was out until DeMar DeRozan's tweet taking a shot at SI for rating him so lowly. So, I mean, we're going to... ratings are ratings are ratings, and I never really know what to read in them. And quite frankly, I never really get all that upset about it. But DeMar DeRozan's damned upset that he was rated 36th.
Now, we haven't got the top 30 yet. I don't think they released the top 30 unless they did it today, right?
Yeah, you know, I'm looking at, yeah.
Yeah, so Kyle Lowry's in that top 30 somewhere, yeah. So we'll find out whether he's been slighted or not.
DeMar DeRozan is 36.
Yeah.
He is behind Chris Middleton, Hassan Whiteside, Kristaps Porzingis, Bradley Beal, LaMarcus Aldridge, and DeMar's chap. So we're going to bring in Rob Mahoney of SI, who co-authored the article. And Rob, we're just going to ask you to explain yourself. What do you guys have against DeMar DeRozan? Seems he's lovely.
Or Toronto or Canada.
Or Toronto or Canada. He's a lovely guy. I mean, anyhow.
Oh, no, absolutely a lovely guy. And to be honest, that's something that factors into our ranking process, too, when we're trying to think about what kind of people you want around an organization. And DeMar aces all those tests, an incredible worker, a great teammate. For us, it just comes down to more a basketball sensibility issue, where what do you want out of a wing player in the modern NBA? And to us, DeMar, while he's really capable and he could help a wide variety of teams, kind of puts a ceiling on how far you can go. Because when he doesn't have the ball in his hands, he doesn't cut, he's not a good three-point shooter, and so he really is kind of nagging at your offense when he doesn't have the ball, because defenses don't have to guard him. And when he does have the ball in his hands, he's shown that while he can be very effective in the regular season, in the playoffs, you know, these long wing defenders who are all over the league can give him some trouble. And throwing double teams at him can kind of scramble his wiring a little bit in terms of making the right reads. And so we're a little apprehensive about just how good a DeMar DeRozan-led team could ultimately be. But we do have a lot of respect for the body of work and certainly his career year last year.
And in fairness, and I'm going to point, first of all, in fairness, the points you made have been made by a lot of people, especially in the playoffs. And look, the game is, DeMar has said one of his goals this offseason, or actually Dwayne Casey's, one of the goals he set for DeMar DeRozan was to try to improve his three-point game. So we'll see what happens when they get to training camp. But this is the lead paragraph in the DeMar DeRozan, who is ranked 36th by SI. This is the lead paragraph on the write-up on it. Every year we relitigate the case of DeMar DeRozan, perhaps the league's most polarizing player. I agree completely. Our verdict comes down to this. DeRozan is a refined, impressive scorer whose limitations create real problems. His best skill, and his only one that is above average, is one we've seen repeatedly stifled in a postseason setting, leaving us with lasting concerns about the ceiling DeRozan imposes on his own team. And that, I mean, I love DeMar DeRozan, but that's absolutely right.
Well, and I got to say, Raptors fans, some of the same people who might object to this rating, would not disagree with one word of that, would they?
No.
And, you know, the more closely people follow the team, the more they would agree with that.
Yeah, it's almost as if, you know, Paul Jones, who one of the our radio Raptors radio voices, talks about DeMar having an old man game. And that's really what it is, isn't it? It's kind of an old man game.
Oh, it's one of the best in the league. I mean, there's a reason why even other stars are studying his footwork and his technique. I mean, the things that he does well are off the charts. I mean, from a fundamental standpoint, he's a great player. And it really does just come down to, you know, one of the criteria we're looking at is, can this guy, you know, if you're a championship team, is he your best player? Is he your second best player? Could he have been a factor in a final series like the one we saw between the Cavs and the Warriors? You know, just kind of how these guys play into the competitive landscape of the modern NBA. And that's, unfortunately, the area where DeRozan kind of comes up a little bit short.
Rob, talk a little bit about you mentioned criteria. Let's talk a little bit about your methodology. You know, we just went through an exercise here where some of us were involved in rating the greatest 40 players in the history of the Toronto Blue Jays, and we kind of made up the criteria as we went along. You know, we kind of, because it's a, you know, it's going to be a perpetual apples and oranges contest. How do you rate players? How did you rate these players? What's the mathematical formula?
Yeah, so I mean, usually it starts with my colleague Ben Golliver and I independently making our own top 100 lists, and then we start comparing them. And to formulate those lists, I mean, we're looking at a wide variety of factors. There's a ton of film study that goes into this. You know, it's not enough to know just that DeRozan is a great post-up player. We want to know why he's a great post-up player and where he's coming up short and where, you know, you could see potential problems. So we're pouring back over the tape. We're looking into all the data that's available. You know, that's box score stuff. That's, you know, within season splits, looking at, okay, did he come on better late in the season? What are the team kinds of teams that gave him trouble? Then we're looking at kind of the more advanced stuff, you know, the more advanced defensive stats, especially in terms of trying to get, you know, read between the lines of the box score and figure out where some of the oversight might be in kind of viewing and understanding these players. We're looking at kind of all sorts of situational data and information, everything that we can get our hands on. And then we're going through and reevaluating basically everything we had in our initial ranking. And we're looking at specifically, you know, DeMar's at 36. We're looking at all the players around him. We're looking at all the players who are similar to him and kind of doing head-to-head comparisons between those guys. And the end result is what you ultimately see. There's a lot of going back and forth. There's a lot of splitting hairs. And really, you know, some of this is going to come down to preference, just because there are certain players that Ben and I like that other players don't, or other people and fans don't. And there are going to be players that people are crazy about that just really aren't our style. And so that's going to factor into it, but we try to check our biases as much as possible.
Has the type of player you and Ben like changed as a result of the way the game has changed?
For sure. I mean, one of, you know, in a lot of these cases, you get down to a lot of really close comparisons between players. And I think one of the tiebreakers that we were trying to look at this year is evaluating wings even higher than point guards and big men, just because there are so many good point guards right now, and there are so many good centers and power forwards who can do all kinds of things. And the NBA is just every team is searching for guys who can both contribute on offense and defend. And so if you're one of those guys, if you're one of these wing players like a Gordon Hayward, for example, that's a really important player in the modern NBA, or Chris Middleton, for example, which kind of makes his comparison with DeMar especially apt. Just because if you are contributing on both sides of the ball as a wing player, and especially if you're a wing player who could potentially guard anything between point guards and power forwards, I'm not sure there's a more valuable type of player in the NBA than that right now.